Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, Richard Lugar can cry if he wants to, but Indiana belongs to the Tea Party today. The 35-year member of the Senate, Republican, one of Congress's leading experts on U.S. foreign policy, is out. Tea Party-backed challenger Richard Murdoch won in a straight-up challenge of a longtime Washington insider with a distinguished record for bipartisan compromise. All negatives in the new Tea Party reality for the GOP. For some election results, we now turn to Mika Schweitzer, reporter for WNIN in Evansville, Indiana. Welcome back to the program.
Yeah, hi. Good to be here.
So, Mika, tell us again, what was at stake here for Lugar? Is it simply he'd outworn his welcome, or is there some real ideological challenge to incumbency across the board?
It's probably a combination of the two. I mean, a recurring refrain was that Lugar is out of touch. Lugar is too old. You saw lots of signs saying it's time for Lugar to retire. And, you know, this is notable because this is the first time since the 1960s that Indiana is going to have a ballot, a Senate ballot, without a Bi or Lugar on that ballot. And so this is a real sea change in that sense. The Tea Party, of course, is trying to spin this as a major victory. The Tea Party Express released sent out a release last night saying the Tea Party is still relevant. This was not some sort of 2010 midterm flash in the pan. And so Murdoch is viewed as this signal of an ideological shift. And that's what he talked about in a very long victory speech last night, saying that this race was about the direction of the Republican Party and ultimately the direction of the country, and that Hoosiers want a more conservative Republican delegation in the Senate and overall a more conservative Senate.
So, Mika Schweitzer, how does that jive with what happened in the 8th Congressional District, where the incumbent actually won over a Tea Party challenge?
Yeah, that's an interesting little twist here, because a lot of people were thinking, well, maybe the Tea Party activist Christy Risk would be able to pull out a victory, since people might pull the lever for both Murdoch and Risk. But people sort of split. Now, it's worth noting that Larry Bouchon, the freshman congressman running for his second term, was part of the 2010 conservative backlash. And
right.
So other than his vote for the debt ceiling increase, he's pretty much fallen in line with Republican orthodoxy.
And he had better creds than Richard Lugar did at that point as a freshman and as part of the conservative 2010 revolution. Mika Schweitzer, one last question. What does this mean, do you think, for Indiana in November? It went for Barack Obama in 2008, I believe, and the trending in Indiana was really an indication of what happened in November in 2008, and McCain really couldn't hold the votes there. But does this signal a conservative move in general, or is it just an internal Republican battle we're talking about here?
Well, I mean, that is the big question, what's going to happen in November in terms of the presidential race. I mean, I think it's likely that 2008 was the anomaly. I mean, that was
right.
The first time in 40 years that a Democrat had been elected. And so is that going to happen again? Probably not. I know Democrats are pleased that Murdoch won, because the Congressman Joe Donnelly, who's going to face Murdoch in the Senate race in November, probably has a better chance against Murdoch than he would have had against Lugar.
All right, Mika Schweitzer, reporter for WNIN in Evansville, Indiana. Thanks so much, Mika.
Thank you, John.
Join us now, Robert Draper, author of Do Not Ask What Good We Do, Inside the U.S. House of Representatives. Robert, first of all, what do you make of Lugar's departure suddenly?
Well, I think that it is a victory for the Tea Party, and proof that the Tea Party has actually matured and entered the Republican Party bloodstream. Frequently it's been said in Washington that the Tea Party influence has diminished, that the movement itself has all but gone away, and that that's manifest in the small numbers of people who show up at Tea Party rallies. But that's not the proper way, I think, of viewing where the Tea Party is right now. All you need to really do is look at the voting behavior of Republicans in particular in the House, also in the Senate, to see, you know, just you know, how strong that influence persists.
All right, Robert, let me push back, though. Will you allow that? It seems to me that what you're missing there is that the Tea Party does fine in these internecine ideological struggles within the GOP and within certain congressional districts. But in a general election, and really the only one the Tea Party has is Scott Brown in Massachusetts. And once he was elected senator in Massachusetts, boy, did he go center.
No, that's exactly. I mean, we're in agreement, particularly when it comes to Senate races as opposed to House races, because the House races are tied to congressional districts that are often decided these days by state legislatures and redistricting, such that the districts themselves are very, very Democrat or very Republican. No, it's true that what will happen is that what you're calling internecine, you know, really a primary battle, that that a Tea Party candidate will emerge only to be trounced in the general election by a more moderate Democrat. And it remains to be seen whether Donnelly is going to profit from that. But the point is that you know, Lugar's downfall, I mean, there's this argument that Lugar lost because he was out of touch.
Right.
Perhaps so, but out of touch with what? And you know, it's not that he has a liberal voting record. It's that he has not behaved like a conservative. And particular proof of that is from the Club for Growth attack ads that were running against Lugar, saying, sure, he's a statesman, but he's not a conservative. And the dismissive notion of statesmanship is something that's very new and endemic, I think, to the Tea Party movement.
Let's pretend, Robert Draper, we can generally assume that Democrats are happy with the Joe Donahue's prospects going up against the new Republican in Indiana, who would defeat Richard Lugar. But what do you think in Republican high-level strategy sessions this morning, say a meeting with Karl Rove, are they happy about this or sad about this?
Well, I think that's a well-put question. I think they see it as that Lugar himself did not do the things that he had to do to win, and that made him vulnerable over time. It's just a reality. You look at, say, Orrin Hatch, for example. Hatch has given dozens of speeches on the floor of the Senate, putting himself in a more aggressive position to win his primary, and Lugar simply didn't do that. So while they may not be pleased to see a statesman like Lugar go, they also felt like he didn't do himself any favors and that, therefore, defeat was inevitable for him.
And so from their perspective, perhaps the center still holds because this was a Lugar problem, not a general GOP problem. Robert, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Robert Draper, author of Do Not Ask What Good We Do Inside the U.S. House of Representatives.